The following is a Learfield presentation of the Vanderbilt Sports Network. Live from the Commodore Grill, Commodore Hour is on the air. Over the next hour, we'll discuss the latest around Vanderbilt athletics and hear from players, coaches, and administrators. Commodore Hour is brought to you by Gupton Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Springfield, Ascend Federal Credit Union, the exclusive credit union of Vanderbilt Athletics, your Tennessee Ford dealers, proud sponsors of Vanderbilt football. Commodore Hour starts now. Here are your hosts, Andrew Allegretta and Kevin Ingram.
And we welcome you into another edition of Commodore Hour, in front of our live studio audience here at the Commodore Grill in Nashville on just a beautiful Monday evening. It's great to have you with us alongside Andrew Allegretta. I'm Kevin Ingram. And coming up just a little bit, we're going to have Tyler Shoemaker with us, Vanderbilt baseball assistant coach, to talk about fall training and the exhibition games against Samford yesterday. And a little later in the show, another of our favorites, Norman Jordan from the Vanderbilt Sports Network. Of course, you hear him every week on the football broadcast. Former Commodore running back. Looking forward to visiting with Norman here in just a bit. Always like to take a lap around and tell you what all's going on at Vanderbilt as we start the show every week. A little breaking news in just the last few minutes. Some great news from Atlanta. Vanderbilt golfer Gordon Sargent won the individual title at the East Lake Cup, and that just finished up a little while ago. At minus four, he shot a 68. Apparently, there was some sort of discrepancy on the scoring, and it was going to be a tie at first, but the official scorer, I think, had put down the wrong score for him on 15. It put down a par instead of a birdie, so he ends up one stroke better than second place, and Gordon Sargent is the individual winner, so congratulations to him. Vanderbilt will play Texas in the match play semifinals tomorrow. Vanderbilt shot an even par, 288 as a team today, but Gordon Sargent, congratulations, the individual winner in the East Lake Cup, so great news from there, and we'll hopefully see more success for the Commodores over the next couple days. They are an outstanding team. Football off a tough loss in Missouri on Saturday, 17-14. Vanderbilt has the open week this week. Clark Lee, head coach, usually with us on Monday nights, so will not be with us tonight. Commodores fell behind 17-0. Clawed back, had a chance to win, stopped on fourth and one near midfield to end the comeback. We saw a couple of spectacular plays count for the scoring touchdowns by C.J. Taylor and a fumble return near the goal line after he hurdled a blocker and got the football. And Kamarion Carter, that 80-yard catch and run, he just absolutely outran everybody with just under 4 minutes to play. That was a lot of fun to watch. Vanderbilt comes up short. Week off this week from games, but then four-game stretch to finish up the regular season. Three of those at home, including South Carolina, a week from Saturday. The game on November 5th that was announced today, a 6:30 kickoff TV coverage on SEC Network. Also, some ticket deals that were announced today. They will launch tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock, including the crossover combo. You can get tickets for the football game against South Carolina and the men's basketball opener against Memphis on November 7th, and they'll throw in a T-shirt, all for only $40. That is available through November 2nd. The Commodore combo, you get tickets for football games against Florida and Tennessee for $120, and you also get a $30 gift card for Assembly Food Hall. That's available through November 16th, so you can check those out. VUCommodores.com, get all the info. That will launch tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock. Vanderbilt soccer, three huge points again yesterday, a 2-1 win over Mississippi State. Now in front in the SEC East by 1 point over Tennessee and South Carolina. Vanderbilt has 13 division points. That's how they determine the division standings in soccer. They can clinch it with a win or a tie at Tennessee on Thursday. Alabama's clinched the West. They'll have the top seed for the SEC tournament, but Vanderbilt will get the number two seed. If they can win the East, they will get a first-round bye with that division title if they can get that done on Thursday. Anna McLaughlin scored in the 75th minute yesterday to make the difference in that match as Vanderbilt won 2-1 over Mississippi State. Baseball, we mentioned fall training underway, outscored Samford 10-7 in exhibition play yesterday. It was broken up into three short games, and we'll talk about more of this with Coach Shoemaker here in just a moment. Should also mention congratulations to Vanderbilt alum Caleb Cotham. He's the pitching coach for the Philadelphia Phillies. They are the National League champions and will play Houston in the World Series starting later this week. Congratulations also to David Macias and Ryan Flaherty there on the staff of the San Diego Padres who made it to the NLCS. So just a little lap around what's going on. Next football game will be a week from Saturday against South Carolina over First Bank Stadium, a 6:30 kickoff for the Commodores and the Gamecocks here in Nashville. Tyler Shoemaker is going to join us when we come back. Don't go away. Just getting started on the Vanderbilt Sports Network from Learfield.
Download the free Vanderbilt Athletics app. It features our live audio broadcasts, mobile tickets, and much more. Now, more Commodore Hour.
Yeah, that app is awesome. Welcome back. This is Commodore Hour. Great to have you with us. A Monday night in the Music City, live from the Commodore Grill inside the Holiday Inn West End Vanderbilt, along with Andrew Allegretta. I'm Kevin Ingram, and our first guest is Vanderbilt baseball assistant coach Tyler Shoemaker. Welcome in. You've become a regular guest with us over the years.
I appreciate you guys having me back. Yeah, second time I was here, I think, in the spring. And yeah. We had a good conversation, so I appreciate you guys having me back.
We were talking about golf during the break, and some of the players are very interested in what goes on with the golf team. There's some crossover there.
Yeah, I randomly see our guys come in with this nice golf hat or a golf polo, and I'm like, where'd you get that? And I guess they're trading hats now, our game hats for their golf hats.
Yeah. And,
I think they need to go get some lessons from Gordon out there on the course or something, maybe.
Yeah, getting it done. I don't know about a jersey swap. I don't know if
I don't know how that works, but we'll see.
Right. Take away from the exhibition games against Samford yesterday.
Very well played game. Obviously, Samford's a good program. They've been in a regional. Even when I was at Campbell in 2021, we played them in the Mississippi State regional twice, actually. And they're a good program. They're well coached. The thing for us, I think, is just we have to clean it up a little bit on defense. We gave away some free bases. Overall, in the box, I thought we had a presence. I thought some of our guys jumped on some pitches early in the count, which is nice to see. And obviously getting some guys in there that fresh faces. You know, you look through that box score, there's some new names in there, whether it be R.J. Schreck, a grad transfer, and then some of the freshmen getting into college is great for them to get live ABs. But then on the pitching side, those guys that got on the mound yesterday, they might not have a ton of college innings. Whether they be a freshman or a sophomore that hasn't pitched yet at Vanderbilt, not because they're not good enough, just because of where they were in their development. But being for them to be able to get out there against another opponent with some people in the stands and something on the line was great, and I thought they did a nice job.
What'd you like about the format, the way it was split up into smaller games instead of maybe one nine-inning game? And also you kind of got to those pressure spots a little faster.
I think it benefited our guys in that first four-inning segment because it really was like an end of the game. Enrique makes a great catch to save a three-run home run, and then we jump back on offense down one run, and we're able to treat it like the bottom of the ninth. Mm-hmm. And they bring in their closer, which is great for them on the flip side of seeing what that guy can do in a late-inning situation, and then allowing us to see what we're made of in that situation as well. And then the last two sets of three, I think, were very beneficial because you got to get guys in and see kind of them play in a setting where they knew that they had those three innings to play. If not more. So I think that was great for our guys just to get into a game atmosphere and really have some feel of the game.
You know, sometimes with these situations, I feel like it's easy to advance to the Gunker guys, find out what's new with Dukanich or Austin, and we can get to them in a second. But Enrique Bradfield, again, he did it with a fantastic save, a three-run home run catch at the wall. What's next for him? Help us understand in a coaching lingo how good this young man is and what his next stride is.
I think the thing with Enrique is that he shows up every day, and that catch is great. It's great for the fans to see. It's great for us coaches. It's great for his teammates to see, but that's never enough for him. He always wants to get better, and if you come out to our training any day, he's doing that on a daily basis. But I think the biggest thing for him is he's taking that next step in a leadership role. He's been here. He's a third-year guy in the program. He's been to the highest of highs and had some lows. And I think him guiding the younger guys and his teammates and being that team role, and now obviously he's always had a playing role, but being a leadership position is his next step. And he's taken that on head on this fall, and it's been great to see him with some of those younger guys like Austin and Polky who has got into the mix now. And, you know, but just like we were talking about before the show, he makes that great catch, and then we're making that comeback in the – what was the bottom of the fourth, but treated like the bottom of the ninth, and who's right in the mix? Enrique Bradfield Jr. and making something happen, and he's always going to be in that position.
I'm just never going to take his defense for granted. Like, just doesn't matter. I don't care if it's the fall. I don't care if it's the spring. That's one of the most talented and gifted defensive players I've seen in my life, period. And he's obviously elevated his game offensively throughout the course of his career. One of those awkward quirks, I suppose, of transitioning rosters is the fact that he is the top home run hitter back on this team, which is not his mold. But he did take some strides in that. I don't think necessarily his goal is to go out and hit 15 or 20 home runs. But I don't know. Can he impact the offense What are all of the ways that he can impact the offense? He's done it with his bunts, his speed, 46 for 46 last year, stolen base, 8 home runs. How much more can he impact the offense?
I think with a guy like him at the top of the order, it creates a threat for the 2-hole and the 3-hole, because once he gets on, you're going to see better pitches to hit, because they're going to want to throw fastballs because they know that he's going. And I think that impacts the whole lineup throughout. But I think him setting the table at the top, it also allows the it also forces the defense to make a decision. Are you going to defend the bunt, or are you going to play back and trust his power skills now that he's developed? So I think the way that he elevates our offense and really sets the table and creates openings for his teammates is where he benefits us even more so now with his power and his speed.
I just kind of bring up all of that stuff because to an extent I feel like we talk about the offense like, uh-oh, what's going to happen without Dom Keegan or Spencer Jones? And how is the offense going to evolve? It's like we sort of forget that you have one of the best players in the country at his position still on this roster. I just say that to augment and highlight and put the spotlight on Bradfield. Another upperclassman that I wanted to mention, just to introduce him, is R.J. Schreck. You guys have not necessarily leaned on the transfer portal, and it's partly because of how great your recruiting has been and player development has been throughout all of the years, but you do go to the transfer portal. You do get R.J. Schreck. Who is he? What does he add to this team?
I think Schreck obviously adds a lot of college at-bats, and anytime you have college at-bats, you got that on your into your advantage. But I think he adds a little mix of power. He has a swing that can drive the ball out of the yard, but we saw it yesterday too, just in situational hitting. Runner at third, less than two outs, he's able to hit a sac fly to get a guy in. And then the baseball acumen, the instincts that he's developed in an older guy, he gets on first base, he reads a dirt ball, he gets to second base, they don't hold him on, he's still stirred. And that's not – speed's probably not his game, but if he has that threat because of his instincts and his baseball awareness after being a veteran in college baseball, that's what he brings to the table. And he's going to hit some home runs for us for sure, but I think the leadership role that he has, also being an older guy but also being really good with our young guys – that's tough to find. And when you find a guy in the transfer portal that can come in from a program like Duke that has been successful, he brings wins and he brings at-bats and experience, and that always helps.
And I hope a little bit, too, just to tack onto this conversation, and I'll let you explain it from your perspective, but it strikes me that because of RJ, because of Bradfield, and like a younger guy like RJ Austin, this team could have a lot of personality and offense, kind of a chip on its shoulder, an edge. I don't know if it's confidence, but they might play a little bit feistier on offense just with a personality standpoint, which could be good to see.
I think anytime from year to year, you're always going to have a different offense. And I think the goal that people have to remember of playing team offense is to score runs. And it doesn't matter if you hit the 3-run home run or you bunt a guy in, you're still scoring runs. And I think what you're going to see with this offense is that we're going to have to score in different ways, but it's going to be a fun offense to watch play.
Visiting with Tyler Shoemaker from Vanderbilt Baseball. Going to take a break. Come back with more of Tyler after this on the Vanderbilt Sports Network from Learfield.
The Anchor Podcast, presented by Regions, is your backstage pass to the Commodores. Download and subscribe to the Anchor Podcast on Apple and Spotify. Now let's get back to the action.
Well, the action continues here on the Commodore Hour, live from the Commodore Grill in Nashville, alongside Andrew Allegretta. I'm Kevin Ingram, and enjoying our visit with Tyler Shoemaker, Vanderbilt baseball assistant coach. The team played exhibition game against Samford yesterday and will go to Las Vegas this weekend to play Arizona State. You and I were talking before we went on here. It's important for players who maybe haven't been through these experiences to just get on a plane and go somewhere and understand what it's like to go on the road and play these things.
I think any time you can get onto a trip and be fortunate enough to do that in the fall is a huge advantage for our younger guys because some of them maybe haven't flown before or they haven't traveled. They obviously haven't traveled with a college team before, and how we travel and just getting things from the bus to the plane, back to the bus and moving around and getting to the hotel and getting something to eat, like that creates nerves in the spring that we don't need or that anxiety that we don't need. So if we can knock those out in the fall and really get the travel pattern down pat in one trip, I think it pays huge dividends into the spring so they know what to look forward to or know what they're asked to do.
What'd you like about the pitchers who were out there yesterday?
I thought they commanded the zone. And what you saw yesterday was a lot of swing and miss fastball from Dukanich, from Ryan Ginther, and Colton Regan, who didn't – he may have not had throw as many strikes, but it wasn't as bad as maybe it looked on paper, because he was 1-2, he was 2-2, he was 0-2 to a lot of hitters, and he just couldn't put them away. But what you saw out there yesterday was a lot of swing and miss fastballs. We didn't even talk about Grayson Carter right there, up to 101 on the bump, and it was just good for them to get out there and get time against another opponent.
Another couple of hitters I wanted to ask you about. Jack Bulger, we've seen over the years, he's got some power. How do you make the best use of him, and what would you like to see as far as his progress?
He's just got to keep increasing the power numbers. He's got to look to do damage in the box, and I think he's going to be a guy that – again, has a lot of college at-bats under his belt, and I think we're going to look to him to drive the ball a lot. We talked about some of the speed that we have at the top of the order, and R.J. Austin, Enrique Bradfield, and some of those young guys, the Rabbits, are going to get on base. He's got to be the guy that can drive them in a little bit.
You work with the catchers. Jack was pretty much the primary catcher last year. How does that group look going into 23?
It's been really good. Obviously, Bulger and Espinal back, and it's great to get guys back for their second year, or just get time under their belt with me, because they know what I'm expecting as a coach, and I kind of know their style as catchers. But a huge benefit for those guys, all four guys, even Cade Law and Logan Petit, the new freshman, all played in collegiate summer leagues, and so they got good time behind the plate all summer. And so they got to come back and kind of see what changes they had made, but also kind of see where they're at, because they got to go out this summer and use it as experience. And I think that's huge, and it's been great to work with those guys.
TJ McKenzie had a couple doubles yesterday. We've seen him in small doses the last couple seasons. How can he make an impact?
How can you not like a kid like TJ? Yep. You know, he's been in the program. He's served in that team role and been a big teammate to a lot of guys. He's well-liked in the team, and yesterday he might not be in that first – lineup that we put out there in the first inning of the first four inning segment, but again, that was not by purpose at all. He just got out there, and when he gets his time, he makes the most of it. You look back at last year, and it's 28 degrees, and we're playing Evansville in the snow, and he hits a home run.
Yep.
You know, and then yesterday he hits two doubles and gets hit by pitch or walked or however he got on base, but he can impact the game with his legs as well, and he's just one of those guys that you want to succeed because he's such a good teammate. He does everything right.
I want to circle back quickly to Ryan Ginther, in part because he's the local kid. He's out of Hendersonville, went to Station Camp High School. Man, he came on late. I think he was banged up a little bit last year, which kind of slowed his development as a freshman. He's not Grayson Carter. He's not throwing 98, 99, 101. The gun at least was sitting 90, 91, 92 for him. But, man, his command seems to be really, really good. What growth has he taken? How much of a pleasant surprise has Ryan Ginther been, and where can he fit into the puzzle piece of Vanderbilt baseball this year?
I think that for him, he picked up right where he left off at Oregon State last year. You know, we asked him to throw some big innings in that regional, and he did so. And then he comes out yesterday, and he's again, commanding a fastball that is a swing-and-miss fastball. It has a lot of hop to it. It's got some ride to it. And it's from a funky slot. And I think you can – attribute that to a lot of our pitching coach staff, you know, with Brownie and Sammy Lizarraga and Brandon Barrick and those guys that work with the pitchers every day to help him. He pitches from an awkward angle. It's not a comfortable feeling as a hitter, but the biggest thing that Ginther can do is locate the fastball and get the fastball in to both sides of the plate. And when you can do that, it opens up the way for the rest of your pitches.
And I know Coach Corbin tends to lower expectations for freshmen right away, but we knew Dukanich was going to be someone that had a chance to be special if he progresses appropriately. He came out loud yesterday. It was three straight batters, three straight strikeouts, a young freshman out of Indiana, could have been in the mix for the MLB draft if he wanted to be, or moved his name before the draft even happened. What's his stuff? I don't know if he's Carter Holton in the sense that he doesn't necessarily look ridiculously imposing out there. I mean, he's got a good build, but he's a little bit wiry, right? He's not Kamar Rocker, big broad shoulders, but he was dealing yesterday. Who is this young man? And tell us about him.
He's a workhorse. And when he gets on the mound, he can command four to five pitches, and that's special. But I think he's a competitor, and he's got that instinct of when you cross over to the white lines, he's going to beat you. And there's something to be said for those type of guys, whether they're a freshman or sophomore or upperclassman. When you can flip that switch and get on the mound and just be as competitive as he is, There's something special to that. But I think back to your point of yesterday, he goes three up, three down, and that's impressive. There's no doubt about it. But being able to work out of a jam and an air and not give up a run, that's a big step in a freshman's progression against another team.
Yeah, it's not unnoticed that Brownie and you guys make a point, especially in these situations, where if someone's going to get themselves into a jam, it's an exhibition, right? Like, we're not raising the stakes on this thing. But you're going to let them work through it to figure out how to do it, because there's going to be a moment where you don't have somebody behind you in a bigger spot.
Yeah, I think if you can be in the trenches in that setting yesterday, that's going to you're going to have the confidence and you can build on that. And I think there's something to be said for that for sure.
You mentioned, you know, a young guy coming in, four or five pitches. Are there times you have to kind of dial that back with a young player, or do you say, okay, let's see how these pitches develop? How do you handle those sorts of things?
You figure out more so of what's going to work in college, because you can get amateur college or high school level hitters out in a lot of different ways, but for him it's honing in on what works the most, and then realizing what works off of each other is a big thing, and I think he's very understanding of the baseball pitching side, probably more so than any player that I've ever seen in college, understanding the numbers and the metrics and how his pitches work. So he's very in tune with that and understanding how they work off of each other. So reining him back a little bit, but also not holding him back.
Do you find the later start to fall training this year help guys, especially with so many unplaying, you know, ball in the summer after a long season of college ball?
I think playing in the summer was great for our guys. And then this last 6-7 week period really allowed us not only to get stronger and faster in the weight room, but also kind of orient the younger guys, or an RJ Schreck who's coming from a different program, into our day-to-day habits and helping them build a routine out to be a successful player here. So I've been a huge fan of it. Obviously, we were all itching to get going. But I think now that we're into the training sessions and seeing a full team out there, we can really build on it.
What's the transition been like for you over the last year?
I think, that's a great question. But, no, going into year two, year one was great. You know, first fall, get in here, you're kind of drinking out of a fire hose. And then when you get into the spring, it becomes more you get more comfortable. But it was my first time through this league in the SEC, and it's a grind. You know, you played 30 straight games of no let up, and that was different for me. And then now getting into year two and kind of understanding how our training sessions work and what's expected of our guys, it's been a little bit easier, but you never let your guard down. You never take what you're doing for granted, and it's a different team every year, and I think that's why Coach Corbin's been so great for 20-plus years is he understands it's never the same team, and I've learned that from him in just 1 year.
One more before, and Andrew may have one more for you too. Thoughts on the schedule? Going to go to Arlington to play in the event out at the Rangers ballpark. You talk about that 30-game grind of SEC. You start off with matchups. You'll have the last three national champions facing off. Ole Miss here, Mississippi State on the road. I mean, that's going to be a lot. I don't know if fun is the right word for a coach, but it's going to be interesting for sure.
It's anytime you can play in this league. It doesn't matter if they won the national championship last year, the year before, or the year before that. They still have to play Vanderbilt, and I think there's something to be said for that. But also, there's no gimmies in this league. It's all great players. Everybody throws hard. Everybody can hit the ball far. And really, you just have to prepare each day and make sure the training sessions that we're going through right now are helping us set up for that. But it's going to be a fun year. I'm excited for that SEC schedule for sure.
You spent some time listening to Coach Corbin speak, because I felt like I just heard his soundbite come through your mouth right there. Right? They still have to play Vanderbilt. It's not just that we get to play them. I think he made that point when Oklahoma State came in last year, too.
Just need the accent.
Yeah, that's right. I'm from Maine. I can try to help you out with that Northeastern thing. It's not really a question. I just want to make sure that we touch on it and throw it in there, that the Black and Gold Fall World Series is transitioning now to the David Williams Classic, which I know that means a lot to a lot of people around here, means a lot to Coach Corbin. I'm sure you've learned plenty about all of that in a year, but, you know, a well-deserving thing to do. So it's just one game instead of three, so you can do the David Williams Classic and then still kind of have your exhibitions and your travel. So it's a nice layout for fall, and it's a nice touch at the end. November 13th, 1 p.m. at Hawkins.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun day, and obviously for something special. And our guys are going to have some commemorative jerseys for that. And
Nashville Stars, I think, right?
Yeah, the Stars. Yeah. And it's just going to be a great day, and I'm glad that we could do that for the Williams family and obviously keep his legacy alive.
Tyler Shoemaker, thanks for the time.
I appreciate you guys having me.
All right, keep up the good work. For Vanderbilt Baseball, assistant coach Tyler Shoemaker joining us here on Commodore Hour. When we come back, we'll visit with Vanderbilt Sports Network analyst Norman Jordan, former running back. He can catch a few passes during his time. We always love our time with Norman. That's coming up next on the Vanderbilt Sports Network from Learfield.
Vandy United is our vision for Vanderbilt athletics. Learn more about the transformation process at vucommodores.com. Now, more Commodore Hour.
We are back on Commodore Hour inside the Commodore Grill. It's great to be with you on a Monday night. Beautiful weather here in the Music City. Alongside Andrew Allegretta, I'm Kevin Ingram, and this guy we are very familiar with, long time no see, Norman Jordan joins us. Of course, a terrific running back during his time with the Commodores, and these days Vanderbilt Football Network analyst for us. What's going on?
Well, you didn't tell me I was going to have to follow somebody that actually knew what they were talking about. Tyler did a great job. Give me a warning, a heads up.
We'll let you know next time.
Yeah, we'll ask you about coaching first base.
That is if you have a next time.
There will not be a next time.
Oh, there will be a next time. I guess let's start with the Missouri game. Kind of feeling like there, we got to 17-14, had the football with a chance to drive down. Do you feel like maybe had a chance to steal one there in the fourth quarter?
Yeah, I really thought we had a great chance to steal that one, and I just thought of this, but it's like we played a really good first half against Ole Miss and a really good second half against Missouri. If we just got to put that together, and all of a sudden we got a football team.
Couple really big plays that set the stage for that. You had, you know, the play there at the goal line when you saw C.J. Taylor make that spectacular play. He jumps over a blocker, grabs a ball, and scores. It was unbelievable. And then Kamari Carter, we had heard about his speed and those big strides. We saw that for 80 yards on that touchdown.
Yeah, Kamari, man, that's like he's got a sixth gear to him. He's not a five-speed. He's got six gears and gone. And there wasn't a guy in the Missouri defensive backfield that was even – I don't think they tried once we went blowing by that. You take him. I'm through.
How important, though, is it to develop more receivers, whether it's Carter or some of the other – Skinner or some of the other guys we've seen?
Yeah, we talked about this early in the season where you had one go-to receiver and he was getting everything. And we talked about it that you're going to have to find a second receiver because when you get an SEC play, they've got 1,000 ways to take away your top receiver. Now we've developed a second receiver, and we may have developed a third receiver after you see Gamarian run like he did. So, you know, teams are going to have to look at that and go, how do we defend these guys? And you have to have somebody blow the top off, and this guy can do it.
How are you guys seeing teams try to take away Will Shepard? Because it's felt like here in these last few weeks that certainly that's been more the case.
You hardly ever look out from the press box and see a corner on Will or one-on-one. There's always going to be a safety cheated over, and you know he's over there. He's going to help on that side. I don't care. I feel like if we put seven receivers over on one side and Will over on the other side by himself, I think they'd still at least double cover him that way. He's just been that good this year. He's been their go-to guy for touchdowns. He's been their go-to guy for first downs. He's been their go-to guy way more targets than anybody else. So.
Well, that was one thing we sort of touched on. I think it was 15 targets for Will Shepard and 3 catches against Missouri. So that's part of the not just developing wide receivers but growing the chemistry with the other wide receivers as well. And just to throw it into the mix, not to state the obvious, but other teams are absolutely putting their best cornerback on Will and getting physical with him. It was Keely Ringo who had that interception return for a touchdown against Alabama that was charged with shutting down, for the most part, Will Shepard. And then Chris Abrams-Drain, who had been injured for Missouri the previous couple of weeks, he came back and they said, have at it, and try to take him away. So teams are challenging Will not just strategically with how they line their guys up, but also we're going to take our very best athlete and challenge you.
The cover corners, who he's going to get every week.
Every single time.
Somebody else can show, hey, we're a threat. We're going to get in the end zone. So he's going to see a lot of that for the rest of the year. You have to expect that. So what can the other two do, and what can they do with the tight ends? When you've got that situation, that's opening up something else, and it's a big chess match out there. And what you have to do is say, all right, well, they've taken away this move from me, so I've got these moves.
How much confidence can you gain from a quarterback wide receiver standpoint throughout the course of the season? Because you hear about it all of the time about, oh, in the off season, we spent all of the time together, we developed a chemistry. Well, AJ and Will have that, but now that teams are slowing down, Will Shepard, you've got to reignite the chemistry with Carter, with McGowan, whatever it happens to be.
Yeah, you see that just about everywhere. I remember Jay Cutler, we had the same thing, and you've got a favorite receiver. When you get in trouble, he's the guy you look for, and if he's not there, all of a sudden you're kind of left hanging out. When you're scrambling, you're looking for that guy. You know the general area he's in. You trust him, and so you go to him, and a lot of times that favorite player, favorite receiver comes through for you.
Well, flip over to the defensive side now. It almost feels like Anfernee Orji in the season he's having is going overlooked. I think he's up over 80 tackles now on the season. Fumble recovery, got a pick. I mean, that guy's really having some kind of season. It just feels like he's everywhere at times with this defense.
Yeah, and I tell you what I've noticed in the last three games, really, is he's really packing a wallop when he goes in there. I think he knocked the ball loose on the fumble there.
He was involved in all three turnovers. He had the interception, had the forced fumble. I think he had the forced fumble. To be honest, that remarkable play that C.J. Taylor made, I'm not 100% sure if C.J. knocked it loose or if Anfernee knocked it loose, but they were both right there. And Anfernee had a fumble recovery as well.
But they've got at linebacker what they would love to have at receiver, and that is they've got a really deep stable of linebackers, you know, three, four good linebackers, and you've got to develop that on the other side of the ball and find them at receiver. So I've really enjoyed watching Anfernee play this year.
Just quickly to give Anfernee stats, 84 tackles, which is effectively double the next most on Vanderbilt, which is Mahoney with 42. 6.5 tackles for losses, 2 sacks, an interception, 2 forced fumbles, and 2 fumble recovered. I mean, he has been all over the field.
But other than that, he's not really done.
Yeah, I mean, we really need to develop some linebackers. Yeah, but yeah, for sure. I suspect, and I guess credit where credit is due for Anfernee, but the schematics of the defense that Nick Howe wants to run puts him in the position to excel, and now he's just taken that opportunity and excelled.
Yeah, he's done a wonderful job, and he chases down balls, and you don't see that a whole lot. He's somebody that's stuck where he is to be able to run the play down. He does a great job of it. But we're also starting to see some defensive linemen that are getting more and more mobile and healthy and starting to see some improvement from that. When you get that and you've got good linebackers, you're starting to get a really good defense.
Speaking of the defensive line, it feels like that's an area, and we've talked about it on our broadcast, where it's just been thin throughout the season, injuries and everything else. How big of an impact has that made on this defensive front for Vanderbilt, which, you know, can set the tone for everything, as we know in this league?
Yeah, I mean, you saw it with Missouri, and you've seen it with some other teams, where you've got three down linemen that can make the quarterback feel pressure. We're usually making the quarterback feel pressure when we're bringing a blitz. So if you can do that with three down linemen, four down linemen, and you don't have to get to the quarterback to sack him. You just got to make him feel like, hey, somebody's close, get rid of the football. And if you do that, and if we can start getting that out of the defensive linemen, all of a sudden you've got linebackers dropping into plays where quarterbacks aren't used to linebackers dropping into them.
And it helps the secondary as well, right? I mean, this is an 11 people on the field sort of thing, but the secondary has given up its fair share and far too many to be comfortable with explosive pass plays. And that what we've talked about always is kind of the pickle that Nick Howell is in and Clark Lee is in terms of, okay, do I drop my linebackers to try to help my secondary, but I get no pass rush, so Jackson Dart just sits back there and picks you apart, or do I bring my linebackers and put some guys that maybe don't need to be exposed? But if you're getting Devin Lee, who's come back from injury, that's one of the guys we're talking about. He's made some nice plays, 8 tackles, 3 tackle for losses, had a sack. I think that was against Missouri. I think that was just this past week. He's coming back healthy. The freshman, B.J. Diakati, is starting to grow. Miles Cecil is out for a little bit. He's coming back healthy. We still don't have full details on Davion Davis, but if these guys are there, it's less of a pickle for Nick Howell. He can help the people that need the assistance because you've got the guys to get the pressure.
Sure, but understand that this hurry-up offense that so many people are running right now,
yeah.
If you look out there, the linemen, offensive linemen, are sitting there going, ooh, do, 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 do. And the defensive linemen are already, they're down and they're ready to go. And right. So they're burning nervous energy while they're doing that, while the offensive linemen are going, they're wearing themselves out.
That's right. But you can rotate guys with these up-tempo offenses because you're getting more people healthy from, you know, Christian James, Nate Clifton, Owusu, Langham, McAllister, BJ. You have to have a stable of like 8 or 9 just to keep up with these offenses, especially the one we're going to see at the end of the season.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, yeah. You wait at the very end of the season, but you look at Tennessee and they're not playing that many guys on offense. They're not substituting much. Those guys are just workhorses.
Yeah. Visiting with Norman Jordan. He's a workhorse back during his day in the black and gold. And these days on a radio broadcast, too. Have more with Norman when we come back on the Vanderbilt Sports Network from Learfield.
In SEC sports, the ifs come at you every minute. What if your QB had released the ball a second earlier? What if the head coach hadn't used his last timeout? What if your team goes all the way this season? If you love the tradition, if you live for the rivalry, if you can't wait each week for the absolute edge of your seat action, Regions is right there with you as the official bank of the SEC.
Regions can't help you with the ifs in sports. Regions helps you embrace the if in life.
Member FDIC.
You may not think of yourself as an athlete, but every day, life is full of athletic feats. You bend, you reach, you lift, you twist, until back, neck, or shoulder pain hits, which brings you to a stop. So whether you're an athlete or not, The Joint Chiropractic can help ease your pain and keep you on the active list. Visit TheJoint.com today to get your first consultation, exam, and adjustment for just $29. The Joint Chiropractic, official chiropractor of Vanderbilt Athletics.
We'll be back after this local break on the Vanderbilt Sports Network from Learfield.
Whether you need a single in-town pickup or international travel arrangements, you can always expect unparalleled reliability and comprehensive service from Gray Line Tennessee Black Car. We take pride in offering the highest level of white glove service, whether you're looking for group or individual transportation. Use code VANDY when you book your Black Car service and receive 10% off. Learn more and book today at graylinetn.com or call 615-714-5466. Gray Line Tennessee Black Car. Be driven.
Time to redo this basement?
Yeah, a home gym, movie theater, model train utopia.
Or yoga studio?
I'm flexible-ish.
Great, I'll just use the U.S. Bank mobile app so we can plan it out.
Which way are you leaning, setting a savings goal or applying for a home improvement loan?
I say we look at both options, right here in the app.
Budget for a really good home gym. We deserve it.
Noted. Help for today, planning for tomorrow. That's what U.S. Bank is for. U.S. Bank. We'll get there together. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Live from the Commodore Grill every Monday night at 6 p.m. Be there in person or listen on the Vanderbilt Sports Network from Learfield. Now, more Commodore Hour.
We're here in person for Commodore Hour. Always appreciate folks coming and hanging out with us a little bit. As we like to say, we're the opening act for the live music that follows here, you know?
We do. We bring in the crowd. We warm up the crowd, and they are ready to go at 7 p.m.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They're in a frenzy by the time 7 o'clock gets here. Visiting with Norman Jordan, of course, you can hear him on the Vanderbilt Sports Network on our football game broadcast. And we were talking during the break. It's hard to believe this is the 40th anniversary of the 82 team. I was like, is it 20? No, it's 40. But trying to put together some things for some of the players, some of your old teammates to come back.
Yeah, I talked to some people at the Black and Gold Club. They said we're going to try to get a reunion back for the South Carolina game, get as many players back as we can, some of the coaches too. And so if we can pull it all together, I'm really looking forward to it.
You seem to be the social director for this group from what I've picked up on.
What a misguided decision by the people that put you in charge.
Yeah, that was a big mistake right there. Big.
It's like, Norman, you go find everybody and round them up and get them here to Nashville. We're talking about Vanderbilt's defense before we went to the break, and we're kind of talking about some individual performances. But in that game against Missouri, how did you guys see things solidify defensively as the game went along? Because they shut them out in the second half, gave Vanderbilt a chance to get back in it.
Yeah, really. I haven't had a chance to go back and look at it on tape, but I'm looking forward to seeing it because I want to figure out what we did. It wasn't them changing their play calling. We shut down the run game. We got to the quarterback some. We frankly, I thought, rattled the quarterback, and his throwing wasn't nearly as effective after that. So I can't tell exactly what we did, but I know we blitzed a little bit more and hurried them up, but played much better against the run game in the second half.
I think we took advantage of some opportunities too, right? The quarterback was rattled a little bit, so we stepped up and we had the interception with Anthony Orji. The play that C.J. Taylor made was a very special play. That's his second defensive touchdown of the season, had one against Hawaii. He's from down in McMinnville, and he really seems to be stepping into kind of that. I don't know where he's going to – I don't know. But his athleticism is really starting to shine, and some guys are getting some confidence. Look, you got South Carolina coming up. You got Kentucky. You got Tennessee and Florida. All of these teams are still going to challenge this defense, right? We didn't go from Alabama and Georgia and Ole Miss to Missouri, and all of a sudden it's a complete 180. Some of what we felt about the defense was out of whack because it was Bama and Georgia and Ole Miss, and you know, Missouri has not been a high-flying offense either. So there's somewhere in between with this defense. It's just, can guys like Orji, Mahoney, C.J. Taylor, the defensive line stays healthy? Can they continue to grow into this so that wherever the median of this defense is, it's much closer to what we saw against Mizzou versus Ole Miss?
Yeah, there's so much that goes on, I think particularly on the defensive side of the field, where coaches have to get to know their players. And, you know, of course, we've first-year staff last year, second year with them, they're starting to get to know them better. But you've got new guys coming in every year. They're freshmen. They're coming in. And you want to get them on the field and see, this guy may be a gamer. He may not be that great in practice. And all of a sudden, when the lights go on, he's a great game player, and he makes things happen, and he's around the ball. And, you know, you can't always see that in practice. You want to see it in practice. You can see if they're good enough to even put in the game, but you can't really see how they react when the lights are on.
And not to mention that there's two back-to-back really good running backs that Vanderbilt is going to have to face. And we're going to see how tough and physical Anthony Orji and Patterson and Barr, they're going to want to be physical, but let's put your open space tackling to the test against these guys with Chris Rodriguez for Kentucky. And the name escapes me for South Carolina. Is it Marshawn Lloyd, I think? The name is escaping me, but he had a fantastic game against Texas A&M. There's back-to-back running backs out there, and the linebackers are going to be challenged these next two weekends.
Yeah, C-Rod reminds me more of Kentucky, reminds me of not – he doesn't have the speed of Eddie George, but he's that guy that you give the ball enough time to where all of a sudden in the third quarter the linebacker's going, oh, no, here he comes again. And this guy brings – he really brings it. He runs hard, and all of a sudden you see linebackers, defensive backs in particular, missing tackles because – I don't know if I can get this guy one-on-one anymore.
Marshawn Lloyd, 526 yards so far, 9 touchdowns, 5.7 per clip for Marshawn Lloyd for South Carolina. So you're going back-to-back against physical, tough running backs. I mean, be ready to tackle. Be absolutely be ready to tackle. If you hold these guys to sub-4 per carry, it's a different game.
Yeah, and you got to slow them down. You can't have this guy coming on, somebody like Rodriguez coming on your linebackers the whole game. If they're doing that, sooner or later, your linebackers – this guy weighs as much as your linebackers do,
right,
and runs better. So you better have somebody slowing him down, getting a hand on him on the way through.
I thought you were going to say Marshawn Lynch there for a minute.
I know, right? Well, I was having second guess because everyone does that thing where you, like, misassociate a name. You say a name that you think it is, but it's the wrong one. Like, whatever.
Sure, Steve,
right?
We understand.
That's right. Yeah. So I'm glad I got it right.
Yeah, I thought we got to get the Skittles out, get ready for beast mode here at First Bank Stadium.
I get that reference. That was
right,
a good
right, Mark, thank you.
And he drove the cart around a cow. Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. Well, I would appreciate that. Clark Lee, when I asked him about it being a game of missed opportunities after the game at Missouri on Saturday, he talked about how the margin for error is very thin. And we saw mistakes that really cost Vanderbilt a chance to really make it interesting. Missed field goals, you know, maybe some missed tackles and, you know, some chances to make catches. I mean, Vanderbilt, you just can't afford to have too many of those things go the other direction, can you?
No, that's exactly the way it is. You can go out there and have, you know, 7 good series in a row, and then all of a sudden one guy makes one mistake, and they're gone, and there's 7 points on the board. So you're playing catch-up from that point. So you've got to have, as I say it over and over on the air, it's 11 guys playing 11 different positions, and every one of them has to get their job done for you to stop the other team.
Yeah, I don't – that's our life. Like, at the moment, as the program continues to build and grow and you add and augment pieces through the recruiting classes, like, that's just our life at Vanderbilt right now, where everybody's going to have to get it done to be successful. Like, with all of the respect in the world, you're not playing with George's pieces or Bama's pieces where if one guy makes a misstep, if one safety makes a mistake, the other safety is going to make up for it. Like, we don't have those pieces, which is fine. Like, that's who we are. You just need all 11 to be successful. So I don't want to sugarcoat the fact that we lost against Missouri. Like, it's a stinging loss, and I'm sure Clark still feels it. It's just you see the puzzle pieces where if you can get the execution at this level, you win the game instead of losing it by the margin that we did.
Yeah, we were talking before you guys went on the air. For me, it's a lot like living in a neighborhood and there's a house being built across the street.
Yeah, this is it.
And all of a sudden, you've got the foundation built. You're building the framework and all that. And they're blowing and going and things are happening. Then they start bricking everything up, slows down a little bit. And then all of a sudden, everything stops to a crawl because they're working inside. They're turning it into a house.
Right.
And so there's all kinds of work going on over here. You just don't get to see it yet. And, you know, they've got to get to that door, open that door, and go, we got a house right here.
Yeah, and the restaurant eventually have a soft opening and let people in, and you'll be marveled at the remodel.
Exactly.
We probably don't give enough credit to Vanderbilt's punter, Matthew Hayball. There was a point in that game on Saturday where it felt like he was the MVP, not just punting, but, you know, chasing down plays and everything else. And that's not the first time we've seen that this season.
I was ready to put him out at wide out and just throw it to him. I mean, the guy's a gamer. He's got a fumble recovery. He's got a tackle. I mean, he gets after it. Does a great job punting the football.
He's had an interesting season, hasn't he?
He's been fun to watch, and he's really, really skilled. And, you know, sometimes teams that are in the spot in the standings that we find ourselves, you overly talk about the special teams or the punter or whatever, but, like, don't minimize it just because of where we are in the standings. Like, he's incredibly gifted. You see it in practice all of the time. He gets those punts where – and, again, the turnover streak, although it snapped against Georgia, extended because of him knocking a football loose against Alabama. That's a tough-nosed punter that just – I mean, hey, I'm glad he's on our team.
Well, I was fortunate enough to play 4 years with Jim Arnold, who was an All-American, great punter, many years in the pros. Jim could flip the field for you. He could take the team. They would think they're going to get the ball on about their own 40, and they'd wind up from their own 10 because he could just boom the ball. And when you've got that, it gives a lift to the whole football team.
Norman, we'll let you roll on that. Thanks so much for coming out and hanging out with us on Monday night.
Appreciate it.
Norman Jordan, he's one of our favorites, man. He joins us every week. Of course, you'll hear him on the game broadcast. And we'll be back with you. Next game is against South Carolina a week from Saturday. And if you missed it, a 6:30 kickoff for the Commodores and Gamecocks over here next door at First Bank Stadium. We're coming back to wrap things up on Commodore Hour after this on the Vanderbilt Sports Network from Learfield.
Wow, what a great game plan. Let's go down to the locker room and see what Coach has to say.
Okay, team, let's start using the winning play, 83 Green.
Hey, Coach, what's 83 Green?
That's the number you call when you need heating or cooling service. The guys in the green trucks at Air Conditioning Service, where the customer always wins.
Call 83 Green and win with Jim and Chip Red's winning Carrier team for more than 60 years. With 83 Green, you turn to the experts. Carrier and Air Conditioning Service. Call 83 Green.
Vanderbilt Business offers world-class education on a personal scale. We have top-ranked programs for every stage of your career designed to help you accomplish your unique goals. We cultivate a competitive advantage by focusing on individual needs and fostering a collaborative environment where students, alumni, and recruiters interact on a personal level. We develop leaders who add value to every organization they're a part of. Whether you're just getting started in your career or working your way to the C-suite, let us help you take your next step. Visit VanderbiltBusiness.com/anchordown today.
We'll be back in 60 seconds on the Vanderbilt Sports Network from Learfield.
Hey, Commodore fans, be sure to shop Nike, Johnny O, and Peter Millar, gifts and more at the Vanderbilt Bookstore. You are sure to find everything you and your squad need to complete their game day look and tailgate experience. On game day, shop the doorstop, fan store inside gate 2. Be sure to check out the Vanderbilt University Bookstore, located at 2501 West End Avenue. Open 7 days a week or shop 24/7 online at VanderbiltBookstore.com with option for free in-store pickup. That's VanderbiltBookstore.com. Go Doors!
Some people like A and others like B. At BMW, we prefer X. Like the dynamic X3, meant for ultimate exploration. The X5, built to conquer even the most difficult paths. Or the pinnacle of comfort and luxury, the X7. And since every X-Range vehicle is packed with performance and versatility, you'll always get the best of X. The BMW X-Range. Your next X-Venture starts here.
to close things out on this edition of Commodore Hour on a lovely Monday night here in the Music City. Boy, we had two guests who came in good humor. We had Norman Jordan. Before that, Tyler Shoemaker. A lot of fun hanging out with us, too.
Those guys are awesome, and they're first-class representatives of Vanderbilt, that's for sure. Coach Shoemaker has done a great job. I always find that role very challenging to try to mess with that program. You know, it is absolutely like jumping into a Ferrari at 90 down the highway. You've got to make that adjustment very, very quickly. You're not part of the build. You're not ramping up 0 to 100. You are right there in it as they're going. And he's done a great job, especially working with the catchers.
It was interesting to me, especially during the postseason, to see David Macias coaching first base for the Padres in these gigantic games that are, like, you know, as important as it gets, and thinking, it was a year and a half ago. He was in the first base coach's box over here at Hawkins Field.
Yeah, 100%. You know? He was on the travel party back from Omaha the whole bit. But all of those guys, whether it's, you know, Bushman, who's with the Toronto Blue Jays, you can go down the list. All of them have found a way to make an impact at the professional level, both as proud representatives of Vanderbilt, but really key contributors to their team.
And happy for Caleb Cotham. His parents live down the street from us, and he's going to get the chance to be part of a World Series with the Phillies as their pitching coach.
You know, we talk all of the time, right, about David Price or Dansby Swanson, and they deserve that conversation. But, man, it trickles all the way down. There is just such a wonderful ripple effect that Coach Corbin has had through the baseball community for, you know, yes, at Vanderbilt, but going back to Clemson and Presbyterian as well.
Going to say goodnight for this edition of Commodore Hour. Thanks to Brendan Riley, our producer, Andrew Allegretta. I'm Kevin Ingram. Good night from the Commodore Grill on the Vanderbilt Sports Network from Learfield.
Thanks for listening to Commodore Hour. Tonight's episode was brought to you by Gupton Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram in Springfield, Ascend Federal Credit Union, the exclusive credit union of Vanderbilt Athletics, your Tennessee Ford dealers, proud sponsors of Vanderbilt football. The proceeding has been a Learfield presentation of the Vanderbilt Sports Network.